We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's Tuesday, and it's also Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour all hour long. More on Stockman's Vet Clinic coming up. Also, want to wish all you farmers, ranchers, vendors, everybody involved in the world of agriculture a happy National Ag Day. And it's it's there. Everybody's celebrating. And start out the show today, I'm going to give you some facts about Oklahoma agriculture on National Ag Day. Total value of agriculture production in Oklahoma is $8.5 billion. Livestock are 81% of the total value of that production. And then also 75% of Oklahoma acres in the state of Oklahoma is used for agriculture purposes. Also, 126,352 is the total number of producers in the state of Oklahoma. Of that 126,352, 49,396 of them are female producers. Just a number to throw. That's great. I'm glad. I wish it'd be more than 50%, to be honest with you. And then $11.14 million is raised with agritourism is income. Also, 98% of the farms and ranches operated in Oklahoma are family owned. How about that? Some great numbers. I didn't have time to look it up in Texas and to the panhandle. So I'm not leaving you out there, listeners in the Texas panhandle. I just didn't have the numbers. So anyway, it's great. So happy National Ag Day to all you guys. It is Heyday Tuesday. I'll have Brandon Hickey come on and talk about the sales from Elk City and Western Oklahoma coming up in the second segment. But first, let's see what happened overnight in our big ag world. Wheat futures were modestly lower in overnight trading amid weak demands for U.S. supplies. And inspections of grain for export were down week to week, as well as below where they were at this point last year. Well below what we was. Wheat inspections for offshore delivery fell to 302,000 metric tons in the 7 days that ended March 14th, according to the USDA. That's down from 466,967 tons a week earlier and 375,000 tons examined same week last year. Soybean inspections also declined, falling to 686,000 tons from 784 the week before and 719,000 tons from the same point last year. Examinations of corn for overseas delivery, they went up week to week to 1.24 million metric tons from 1.17 million a week earlier and about the same as last year. Wheat futures for May delivery fell 2.25 cents to $5.40 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. And Kansas City futures lost 1 penny to 572¾ a bushel. Corn futures were down 0.25 cents to $4.35¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery fell 1 penny to $11.86¾ a bushel. Soy meal rose $1.20 to $3.33.10 a short ton. And soy oil dropped 0.24 cents to 48.46 cents a pound. Kansas wheat conditions improved in the week that ended on March 17th, while ratings in Oklahoma declined, according to data from the USDA. About 55% of the crop in Kansas, the largest producer of winter wheat in the U.S., was rated good or excellent at the start of the week. That's up from 53% that earned top ratings a week earlier. Top soil moisture in the state was 59% adequate or surplus, down from 62% the week previous week. And subsoil moisture came in at 54%, unchanged week to week. In Oklahoma, the winter wheat crop was 61% good or excellent as of Sunday, and that's down 65% from a week earlier. Top soil moisture in the state was 72% adequate or surplus, down a percentage point from the week prior, and subsoil moisture was 70% adequate or surplus, down from 73%. About 7% of the Oklahoma winter wheat crop was joining, down 2 points year over year, according to the Ag Department said in its report. I have noticed in some areas where they didn't get that shower last week that you can see those dark spots and light spots really starting to show up out there in the wheat fields. But according to our weather report, things might change tomorrow or tomorrow night or the following day. So keep your fingers crossed we get some rain. Dry weather expected in much of Iowa today will be followed by a mix of rain and snow starting Thursday, according to the National Weather Service. Gusty winds are forecast this afternoon, along with mild temperatures and low humidity. Starting Thursday, however, a rain-snow mix will start and potentially last through next Monday. A series of storm systems will impact the region for late Saturday through Monday, bringing additional chances for widespread rain, snow, or both. In northern Illinois, dry weather today will give way to cold weather on Wednesday when a hard freeze is expected this evening with temperatures in the mid-20s. I did take a peek at the Long Ranger a while ago, and it's still March. And so, anyway, I seen a 28, 29 for Western Oklahoma next Sunday night or Monday night. And anyway, so you people with your tomato plants already outside, prepare for what could happen. So, because I know with all this pretty weather, people couldn't help but start planting stuff that freeze won't do it any good. Know what I mean? Anyway, all right, let's check out what's happening right now with our prices on the grains. May corn is at $4.38, up over $2. May soybeans, $11.85, down $2. Soybean meal for May, $3.32.20, up $30. July is $3.37, up $70. Soybean oil for May, $48.53, up $7. Down $17. July is $49.09, down $18. See what wheat's doing. Hard red winter wheat, May, $5.84, up a little over $10. And July wheat is, where'd it go? There it is. Just changed. July wheat is $5.76, up almost 9 cents today. Cotton, not doing too good today. May cotton is at $92.62, down $1.95. And July cotton's $92.55, down $1.71. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, up 95 cents today. April, $83.67. And natural gas, $1.72, up $2 today. So anyway, well, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Bet break. When we come back, let's see if I can get Brandon Hickey on the phone and talk about what happened at Elk City and over there east of Clinton yesterday. Numbers I got, it looks pretty good. And see if there's anything else stirring in the cattle market. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sayre Farmers Co-op. Sayre Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sayre Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sayre Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sayre or give them a call at 928-2664.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale is Monday, March 25th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater. Featuring 20 registered age advantage and 50 yearling bulls. Also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale, Monday, March 25th, 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center in our studio, 62 degrees, 42% humidity. The winds are out of the west at 5.4 miles an hour. Remember, we're downtown metropolitan Elk City, so we don't get all the wind like we do out in the country. But out here in the Texas Panhandle, McLean, you're 64 degrees. The humidity is 32. Dew point's 34. The winds are out of the west at 15 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 31 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.21, 21 hundredths of an inch, or 210 one-thousandths as they measure it up around Grimes in Roger Mills County. No red flag minutes, no sub-freezing, 8-inch soil temperature, a nice 54 degrees. People are going to start chomping at the bit to get those early crops in on there. But we're going to switch over to cattle, and we got on the phone with me right now, Mr. Brandon Hickey. Thanks for joining me today, sir.
You bet, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. It's 1 week we're nice, the next week we're going to cause chaos. Today is, just FYI, chaos day.
Okay.
I'm just going to let you know. Yep. So anyway, Elk City, you had, 1,365 head, and I stopped by there in 8. And we'll talk about that later. but anyway, man, the cattle prices are just great. But what's crazy is the cows, all of them. Yep. No matter whether they're bred, slaughter, or whatever, it's just crazy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it had a really nice run. Gotta had a few more cattle than what we was expecting to show up. That just like to say that it doesn't matter, bred cows, pairs.
middle-aged bred cows, old bred cows, butcher bulls. I mean, they are on fire right now. They are heavily sought after.
Well, is some of those bred cows, those older ones, did any of them have any teeth?
Very few. It's kind of amazing how many smooth-mouthed cows we get week in and week out. And they're still bred, still producing, still doing good, but they ain't got a tooth left in their heads.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as we got rain and good forage, it's not that big a deal. And so,
yep.
Anyway, there's a lot of producers out there retire their cows in that pasture. They never leave, so which is a good thing, I think. I mean, to a certain point. Hey, as long as it's having a baby and they're good and they sell, we're gonna do it. But anyway,
yes.
Did anything stick out with you with the steers?
Well, the lightweight deal was just, especially if they had some condition, just absolutely on fire. You know, we had several of them three weight bunches, and I don't have any of them on the samples, but we had several of those light to mid three weight bunches, well over $4. Friday, you're seeing a pretty good spread between some calves that's got some age and some condition as compared to the new crop calves. The little fat fleshy ones won't do that, but man, those ones that's got some age and got some condition, boy, they'll get over that $4 in a hurry.
Yeah, they sure will. And then the heavier weights, I'm still amazed. I even noticed the ones from Western Oklahoma yesterday, the heavier ones, and the steers, the 975s up over 1,000 pounds. It's just crazy. That's all I guess to say. Bringing over $2, some $220, $215, somewhere in there. And it's great. It's great for the cattle market, and everybody just needs to enjoy what's getting it on.
Yeah. Enjoy it while it's here. It won't be here forever, unless something weird or unusual happens, we ought to get to enjoy this for a couple of years anyway. But like I say, that's contingent on nothing weird or unusual happening. We've seen that happen before.
So. Oh, yeah. We've seen just a little bite of it. What was it, last October, November?
November, yeah.
Yeah, November. Yeah, it was just
November,
like
November, first half of December, $40 down there in about 6 weeks. Yeah,
that's for no reason.
No reason. Nobody could really ever explain it. And then, and that could always happen again. And, you know, the thing that's a little bit unnerving right now that we've got on to me, the packers are being able to hold this live cattle price down so good. And that's a little bit bothersome to me. You know, if you figure up right now what these cows are bringing in the meat, as far as if they's hanging on the rail, what they're bringing, what they're costing in these sale barns, it's really only about $20 less than what they're worth hanging on the rail for a fat calf coming out of the feed yard. There's only about $20 difference between a cow that's just going to go for hamburger and a calf that they're going to get steaks and all sorts of stuff off of. So that's a little unnerving that they're being able to hold that down as good as they are, because we know the numbers have got to be getting tight. And that spread should be considerably larger than what it is for a hamburger cow compared to a fed out steer.
Right.
And so that part's a little unnerving that they're being able to hold that down as good as they are. Hopefully one of the two is going to have to change here. Either we're going to have to get the spread has got to. Going to have to get larger. And hopefully it's because the live cattle prices are going to going up, and not because our butcher cow and bull prices are going to go to going down. But one of the two is going to have to happen here. This isn't sustainable for the two of those to be so close together.
What do you think happens if nothing changes? Are you think the Packers are just going to run on tight margins and hope they put out more, because we're low on cattle numbers as it is?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing what any business, would do. They're trying as hard as they can to keep their costs, their input costs down, because I mean, they know that they're getting set up here for a time when they could potentially lose money. with the because if they're going to stay, you know, if they're going to, you know, and they're doing what they need to do to try to make that, to keep that from happening. You know, they're slowing these chain speeds down. Their kills aren't as big. They're, you know, it's backing up the cattle a little bit in the feedlot, and they're doing it slow, you know, a little bit at a time. But you're starting to see the carcass weights are starting to get bigger coming out of the yard, you know, where before we were staying pretty dadgum current, and those carcass weights were staying light, and now we're starting to see them come up because they're pushing cattle back another week or another 2 weeks, you know, while these feedlots try to hold out for some higher prices, which, you know, supply and demand, you know, the supply like it is, they, you know, conceivably they should be able to hold out and get a higher price. But, you know, we're just in a little bit of a bad situation. You know, we've only got four big major packers in the United States anymore, you know, the competitiveness is just not there. That, you know, we've basically got a monopoly, and, you know, each packer kind of has the tendency to stay in their own region, and they've just got ways that they can manipulate the market by slowing their chain speeds and trying to raise these carcass weights, which then in turn puts more beef on the markets, it's a chess game, and unfortunately they kind of always seem to have the upper hand since there's just so few of them.
So you're saying, or you're not saying, let me rephrase that, you're not saying the Packers are just taking one for the team, since we cattle producers had to take it pretty much in the backbone there for a couple, 3 or 4 years since 2015? Is that what you're not saying?
Well, yeah. There's, you know, they may eventually get to a point where they're losing some money, but on these cattle, I mean, our numbers may get tight enough that may eventually happen. But they're gonna kick that can as far down the road as possible. And you know, there was a time there back there a couple of years ago that every time the tracker would come out, you know, it was showing that the Packers was making $500 or $600 a head, and that went on for month after month after month.
Yes.
After month that they were making that much. And then even when they were losing it, you know, I don't think, if memory serves me correct, you know, when the Sterling tracker, beef tracker deal would come out, I don't think I ever remember seeing them lose more than $120 per head. But you know, when you've been making $500 or $600 for month after month after month, you know, you get used to that, and it doesn't make you want to lose that, you know, $10 or $15 or $20 or $100 a head, you know. So they're going to do everything in their power to keep this thing pushed down, and you know, the feedlots are having to pay up to get these cattle right now, and you know, just like we're talking about, a 900-pound steer, you know, bringing in the mid 220s, low 230s in some instances, we, you know, get that's over, well, what is that, 30 some dollars, almost $40 100 rollback to where the fat cattle price is right now. And you know, our cost of gains aren't down there cheap enough to make that feasible, to make that work. Those, you know, those cattle are not going to make money unless this fat cattle price comes up. And right now, so far, you know, they're doing a good job of holding it in check and not letting it go up. And whether or not they're going to be able to continue that, or, you know, at some point they're going to have to let it go on up and raise it, and it remains to be seen. That I don't envy the feedlot positions, the guys that are negotiating with those packers. I don't envy their position at all, because, you know, basically the feedlot guys, they've got a perishable product. They can only keep it so long, you know, and the longer they keep it, the more inputs they're putting into it, and the more product they're then in turn putting on the market. And, you know, I can't help but feel that it would be completely different scenario if we had 7, 8, or 9, you know, big major packers out there vying for the same number of cattle, but just having four of them, and corporate owned, and some of them even foreign owned, you know, we're not in a good position to get this deal in a better shape the way it is right now. That I don't know what I don't have an answer. I wish I did, of what needs to change to change this scenario, but the answer should have happened a long, long time ago. You know, they should have never allowed this few of the big major packers to have such a monopoly chokehold on this thing. And you know, and And the fact that it's everything's private negotiation, you know, there's very, very, very few, just a tiny percentage that actually sell in an open auction. And 99% of the time, the major fours aren't even bidding on those, or, you know, not even participating in those open outcry auctions where they're actually getting true market price discovery. You know, most of the time, those big four aren't even participating in those. So, you know, it's a bad situation. I don't know what the answer is. But if they're able to manipulate it this much now, you know, what's it going to be like when our numbers get back up to normal? That's the frustrating part about it.
Right. Well, since you brought that up, the big four packers, you know, there's a big one being built out in Amarillo right now, and there's a huge one being built up at Grand Island, Nebraska. And these were all supposed to be supposedly producer owned. And do you think that will help any at all?
They have got to be big enough to compete with the big four. You know, what our government did with sending some of this the COVID money, the federal COVID money we got, Governor Stitt authorized to spend a bunch of that for a bunch of these little private packing houses and these little small ones, and that was a great deal. I mean, you know, that was a good expenditure of the money, but it's just a tiny, tiny drop in the bucket compared to what needs to happen to actually, you know, level up this competition level enough to make these packers have to pay up for these cattle and bid up for these cattle. And the thing about it is they've gotten so big now. If you're not big enough to compete with them on these cattle, they'll just make you pay so much for the cattle for such a long period of time that they, you know, their pockets are deep enough they can run you out of business. You know, they're fully capable of losing money for a long period of time and not really hurting their bottom line very, very little. And you know, if they're not if the plants that they're building aren't big enough to you know, where they're killing, you know, 1,000 or more a day, just throwing out a number there, you know, where they're not capable of killing 1,000 or more a day, they're not, you know, it's not even going to make a dent in what the big four are doing and what they're capable of doing to make you make your prices high but keep theirs low.
Right, I got you. All right, well, let's move on over to East Clinton on I-40 to Western Oklahoma. You had a good sell yesterday there, what, over 1,400 head? What was it? Right at 1,400 head.
Yep.
I know I seen that number.
Anyway. I told the office girls, I said, you know, nobody's going to believe that. They're going to think that I rolled it up. They're not going to believe it 1,400. But I don't ever change my numbers. Whatever my computer says when we get done today, that day, that's what I put on there. And it's unusual for you to come out smack dab right on top of a 100 number, but we darn sure did yesterday.
Yeah, and you had some big groups. You had 29 from, what is that, Mentone? Is that right? Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Cordell 22, Arapahoe 89, Hydro 63, Arapahoe 74. And those ones from Arapahoe, well, they all look good, but the ones from Arapahoe caught my attention. You know, then 89 head weighed 927, brought 224. Well, even the ones from Hydro that weighed 938 brought 227. So, man, it was just some good stuff going on at the sale barns right now.
Yeah, it is. Seeing a lot of good cattle and you know, you're starting to see this pasture, you know, starting to show up that this pasture, this wheat pasture has gotten good because, you know, these weights, these calves are getting bigger and bigger coming off there, you know, and two weeks ago, there was a lot more eight weights on the market samples, and now we're starting to see a lot more of those nines and thousands show up, and that's you know, simply because this pasture is getting better and they're packing on the weight right now. I mean, with the sunshine and the sub moisture that we've got, and the wheat's getting with the program, and it's making these cattle get with the program, and you know, these cattle are growing like crazy. You know, it's most of these that are coming in, you know, the guys are telling me when they call them in, said, "Oh, I've got some eight weight steers I'm bringing," and then they get them in here, and, you know, they're weighing nine, and they're growing so fast, and when you're looking at them every day, you don't realize how fast they're getting it on.
And, oh, and, yeah, they're getting it.
Both barns, you know, we've seen a lot more heavy 8, 9, and 1,000 pound steers than what we was expecting. You know, get a lot of these cattle coming in on sale day, and you put that on your buyer's text the night before what the owners think their cattle's going to weigh, and then it makes you look a little silly the next day because you had a whole lot more 9-weight steers than what you thought you was going to have.
Yeah, it does.
Your 8-weight buyers are, where are all these 8-weight steers? Well, they turned into 9-weight steers when they pulled in the parking lot.
Yeah, they had an IV in with them. I didn't know they was going to have that in there. But anyway, we made them pull it. You guys just deal with it. But anyway, so have you got anything coming up Friday or Monday that you know of on consignments or cows or heifers or anything coming in you want everybody to know about?
I've got a nice set of yearlings, mostly Red Angus Cross yearlings coming in from McLean area this week. They're at Elk City. Already got a couple of nice mid-sized groups of yearlings coming in next week at Western Oklahoma. Nothing on the replacement females at either place this week, but I do have some bred cows coming in the week from Friday that'll be young and heavy bred cows, but nothing on the replacement females this week so far on the consignments, but do have a couple of nice sets of yearlings coming in already lined up for coming in both places. And oddly enough, that both sets coming in at the set coming in at Elk City and the set coming in at Western Oklahoma next Monday are both Red Angus, a really nice set of home raised Red Angus yearlings. So the owners kind of anticipating them kind of way in the heavy sixes to light eights. So be a nice deal. And we have had both Friday and Monday, we did have a few replacement heifers buyers picking around at some of these 7-weight heifers. So I was kind of glad to see that. So a few going back out, going to be turned out with some bulls. And saw a little bit of that on the last couple of weeks. But, you know, they're kind of passing over the 8 and 9-weight heifers, the dollar per heads, getting up there pretty high on them to beat the feeders off of them. But they are picking around at some of these light to mid 7-weight heifers, and glad to see that happening a little bit. Hopefully that'll continue, and I think both these sets of Red Angus cattle coming in at both sale barns this week, the heifers off those deals sure might fit that deal, fit the bill to be some replacement cows for somebody. So
I got you. Well, before I let you go, I need you to verify what I told everybody, because I have some non-believers out there. And
okay.
And so, you know, last
here
Friday,
comes the chaos.
Yeah, here comes the chaos. Anyway, last Friday morning, you know, Mr. Walker, he called me, telling me he's bringing some 6, 7 weight heifers in, and the day before he took in 3 open cows. And anyway, he said, I hope those cows bring $1 a pound, and I guaranteed him they'd bring over $1.40. Well, he didn't believe me, and so I, you know, we made a bet for lunch that I collected on. I wasn't going to let that one slide
right,
by.
Right.
Anyway. Well, anyway, he accused me and you of conniving this deal so I would win this lunch. Well, I'm telling you, because he said it's funny Brandon bought those cows, and I was like, man, Donnie, you just need to listen to my show more, because I've been saying slaughter cattle up to $1.40, $1.45, even $1.50. And Donnie's cows were in good shape, and I knew they would be. That's the reason why I did that.
But right.
He said that we connived this deal. I want you to tell him on public radio that didn't happen.
I can say with no reservations and a completely clear conscience, I knew nothing at all about this deal until y'all were in the middle of the lunch and informed me about the deal. I had a legitimate order to put them cows on that I bought. I had a legitimate order to put those cows on, and I didn't buy them to just turn around and try to resell them just so you could win a lunch. No, with a clear conscience and no reservations, can I say that?
All right, Brandon, we'll see you Friday. Thanks for coming on.
You bet. Talk to you later.
See ya. Well, that went on longer than it was supposed to, so we need to go to break. It is Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour all day today. Speaking of Stockman's Vet, they want to wish all the participants at Oklahoma City participating in OYE, the Oklahoma Youth Expo. Good luck, and hope you win. And so anyway, I know that for a fact, looking at social media, that the clinic was closed Saturday and Sunday, and they were all up there roaming around at the fairgrounds checking it out. So anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyards. We are having a registered Black Angus bull sale March 30th here at Hobart Stockyards. These bulls will be semen tested and ready to go, selling 20 2-year-olds and 15 3-year-olds. They are out of proven stock, low birth weight, and high weaning weight. Go to our Facebook page, Hobart Stockyards, where you can see the videos of these bulls. Sale is March the 30th at Hobart Stockyards. Sale starts at 12 noon, and we'll see you there.
My father and his business partner was wanting to start a service company out here. They asked me 2 or 3 times to join them and come out and get started, and wanted nothing to do with the oil field. My grandparents are somebody I've always looked up to, and I called them, asked them their opinion, and they just said sometimes you have opportunities that you may not ever get, and they thought it was a good idea to look into it a little deeper, and I did. We actually had a disposal, Highway 6 and 283, 3 miles west of there, at a disposal site, which is close to Sayre. Look over our disposal, there's a huge canyon, and we actually was having a conversation out there, and a coyote came across, and we both came up with the idea of canyon, and then the coyote, we came up with the logo. We started out with strictly transport water hauling. Brought 3 trucks out. Basically, I was learning the ropes on the water side of it. My grandpa came out and stayed for 2 weeks. He worked for Hammond Phillips, retired with Hammond Phillips, and taught me what he knew, and gave me his advice, and as things moved on and progressed, we started adding to it. I'm Michael Sloan with Canyon Oilfield Services, where the keyword is service.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 18th. 1,400 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 408 brought 315. 9 at 544 brought 252. 22 at 689 brought 289. 89 at 927 brought 224. 74 at 957 brought 223. 14 at 1,007 pounds brought 224. 4 head of heifers at 551 brought 244. 13 at 681 brought 237. 16 at 838 brought 220. 10 at 845 brought 220. 8 at 887 brought 219. 24 at 931 brought 21250. Butcher cows were 60 to 150. Butcher bulls brought 128 to 167. Bred cows were 1675 to 2175. Pairs brought 1800 to 2100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale is Monday, March 25th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 20 registered age Advantage and 50 yearling bulls, also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale, Monday, March 25th, 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for Northwestern Oklahoma. Camargo, I picked you, 70 degrees, dew points at 34, humidity's 27. The winds are out of the west southwest at 19 miles an hour with wind gust up to 25. No rainfall to really report in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 53 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.5. That's getting on down. Anyway, sunset, 7:48. Today, 75. Tonight, 41 and clear. Tomorrow, 50% chance of thunderstorms and a high of 75 with winds out of the south 6 to 10 miles an hour. Well, I had an interesting text come in earlier in the show, and I was talking about some of the facts of Oklahoma agriculture. Here's an interesting fact for the Oklahoma agriculture, which is the leading, what is the leading agriculture export for the state of Oklahoma? Well, believe it or not, it's sesame. Wheat is actually shipped to Texas before it's exported, so it's not considered an Oklahoma export. The majority of it is actually shipped from Hobart, Oklahoma, the sesame we're talking about there. So that's an interesting fact. Anyway, I thought it was pecans. I was wrong before I even read the deal. Anyway, hey, speaking of pecans, the official printout's not out, but I can tell everybody, April 9th, from 5:30 p.m. till 7:30 p.m., right here in Elk City at the Western Oklahoma Votech Technology, let me quit the tech deal, but Technology Center, there's Becky Carroll and Greg Hartman are going to put on a pecan seminar. So anyway, there's all kinds of good things going to be going on there. And matter of fact, I helped Greg and Becky get a person from Oklahoma City to come out and talk about irrigation setup for pecan groves, because that's one of the biggest questions I got when I had Becky on those two different series. Anyway, so Scott's going to come out and talk about different types of irrigation for your orchard if you want to start it. And like I said, we'll have more information when Greg's emails me that deal here this week or next. But put April 9th from 5:30 to 7:30, and the reason why they're doing it from 5:30 to 7:30 so people can get off work and actually come out and listen to what we have to say about pecans. So anyway, I'm just totally excited. How about that? I hope you guys are too. Let's see here. What do I want to do here? There we go. Farmers ask how to improve P&K on rented ground. 4 R's of fertility: the right product, the right rate, the right time, and the right place. A farmer in Minnesota rented some new ground this year and sent his soil sample test results to Ken Ferry, asking how to improve upon the nutrient levels and improve crop performance. Here are some of the primary questions the grower asked and how Ferry, Farm Journal field agronomist, responded. Some light editing was done for clarification. How's that? Didn't get into the technical words, other words. I picked up some new ground this year and I did a soil test on it last fall. As you can see from the soil test results, it has very low P and very low K, which is your phosphorus and your potassium levels, and high soil pH. The calcium and magnesium levels are high. Do you think these ratios work against getting plants to uptake phosphorus and potassium? I plan to ban the P and K, and since this is rented ground, is there anything else that I can do to improve the soil? What's your opinion? Well, here's Ken's answer. There's not a lot of information we know about this piece of rental ground beyond what you've mentioned, but based on your soil test results and the 4 R's of fertility, I think you're on the right track. My short answer is I do recommend banding your phosphorus and your potassium and then broadcast some additional K, because I think you'll be able to build a potassium value in the soil test. With the 8.2 soil pH level you're working with, it's really unlikely you'll be able to raise the P value per se. I recommend that you band all your phosphate and do that more on a yearly basis. I think this will give you better results. In most scenarios I see here in Illinois, phosphate levels go up fairly easy and come down slowly, but in your case all the phosphate is being fixed to calcium. That's why I think you would be better off to apply all your phosphate in the spring in a band. I see you're running the Olsen test, but even if you use the Bray 1 or Bray 2 test, they will show that you've got a lot of phosphorus tied up with all that calcium that's in the soil. It's nothing you've done, it's just a result where the ground is located and the soil tip there is. I don't know much about, I guess he's talking about putting canola in there, So the answer to him is, I don't know that much about canola, oats, or wheat as far as micronutrients go. My suggestion would be that you look at some tissue tests during the growing season this year to make sure your zinc, sulfur, and boron levels are where you need them to be. You do have a decent level of sulfur in the soil, which is a bit surprising, but that might simply be a reflection of the soil makeup in your area, meaning there's probably what we would call a younger soil compared to, let's say, the soil temps in South Illinois. Last but not least here, sulfur may not be an issue for you, but I would likely be adding some sulfur to the mix. Sulfur is a tough one to test for. I'm going to assume, which we all know that what that means, that you're checking for sulfate levels in your soil. That can be a lot like nitrates, high during one part of the year and low the next part. So a sulfur reading on a soil test doesn't mean that much. I would likely be making sulfur application on that wheat as well as the canola. And there you have it. Let's go ahead and take another Stockman's Vet break and be right back here to finish the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
H2O Bait, Tackle, and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
He loves talking about farming and ranching.
Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. I picked the big town of East Duke. How about that? I'm changing things up. I'm getting, mixing the mesonet centers up to some closer, smaller towns. So Duke, here you go. 65 degrees, dew points at 43, humidity's at 45. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 11 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 24 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 53. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset at 7:48. Sunny and 71 today, mostly clear and 43 tonight. Just a 20% chance of thunderstorms during the day tomorrow. High of 73 and winds out of the south, 7 to 15 miles an hour. Okay, today is Hay Day Tuesday. I looked at the numbers, gentlemen, and I think our hay is going backwards. Price is going backwards. In Oklahoma, alfalfa premium is running anywhere from $180 to $200 delivered. And Kansas, $220 to $325. And Texas, $310 delivered to $425. And let's go on down here to the grass hay. What's crazy, the grass hay is not that far behind alfalfa, and I know which I'd rather have. Kansas grass hay is $140 to $250. Oklahoma, none available this week. Missouri's $225. Texas is $300 to $380 a ton, and this is not delivered for premium grass hay in Texas. So there you have it. Anyway, all right, let's see, where is that progress report I was looking at? Okay, I think I got time for this. Anyway, spring pest predictions are pending. December 23rd through February 24th has been dubbed the winter that wasn't, due to historical warm temperatures across the country and a lack of snowfall in the northern states. Not only is this unprecedented weather pattern causing concerns about soil moisture and alfalfa winter kill, but it's also raising questions about the pest populations this spring and summer. In a recent article from the University of Minnesota Extension, Anthony Hansen explains how freezing temperatures regulate the population of insects that overwinter in the Midwest. The Extension educator adds that cold weather also drives migratory insects south. However, these natural cycles of pest control may have been interrupted in the past year. Even if it gets below freezing at 32 degrees, Hansen says insects contain compounds that lower the freezing point of water in their bodies, similar to antifreeze in a car. Knowing this, researchers use minimal winter air temperatures of an area to estimate insect freeze mortality rates for different species. No snow, no cold. Some insects, like the alfalfa weevil, overwinter above the soil surface in plant stubble and leaf litter. The snowpack that is so important for winter survival of alfalfa also protects alfalfa weevils. But without adequate snow cover in recent months, the pest may have been subject to harsher conditions, which is good. With that said, Hansen said soil surface temperatures must be around 13 degrees Fahrenheit before alfalfa weevil mortality rates reach 20 to 30%. It's difficult to get accurate widespread estimates of temperatures at the soil surface due to variation in vegetation cover and other insulating effects of the soil. Other forage pests, like the potato leafhopper, migrate to the Gulf Coast every year once air temperatures hit 20 degrees in Minnesota, he said. Despite the record warm trend, he affirms migratory insects would not have survived the Midwestern winter. So even so, present conditions could pull these pests back up north ahead of schedule. So there you go. Not good. Let me raise this up before I get Denton Jordan. Denton Cook, not Jordan. That's his mom. Anyway, big congratulations to that young man. Let's see here. Let me open this up. Goose. Everybody knows Goose. Goose was his heifer that he got. She was reserve champion maintainer. And then what else was there? We got another one. Oh, where's it at? There we go. I'm sorry. Anyway, here we go. Goose, reserve maintainer, Division 5 champion, Denton Show champion Angus Intermediate Showman. You got that, Angus Intermediate Showman. And then Max, the Angus, was Division 5 champion Angus. So good job, Big D. Anyway, congratulations to Denton Cook for doing such a good job of showing and did pretty good, if you ask me. OYE's got to be one of the toughest shows they are out there. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed today. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.